Coming up on Golf Today, it's a Tiger Tuesday in studio. Yes, all things Tiger Woods. We look back, we look ahead, and we speak to a doctor and some insiders in the wake of the three-second video that rocked social media to its core. And we know Tiger has helped increase PGA Tour purses. Now another boost is in store for the best players in the world. We talk dollars and cents and why this is happening now. And just how good are professional golfers when they're playing casual rounds at home, just hanging out, golf carts and tunes? We'll give you roughly 59 examples of just how good. It's all ahead on Golf Today.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
Golf Today on a Tuesday, Shane Bacon with Damon Hack. And everybody's seen the video, as Damon mentioned in the open, the Tiger Woods video that he posted on social media. We're waiting to Tuesday because we wanted to give love to Jin-Young Ko and Colin Morikawa and the PGA Tour, but we also wanted a little bit more time to kind of dive in to Tiger Woods.
Yeah, Tiger Woods is the gift that keeps on giving. The three-second video that rocked social media was just remarkable. On a Sunday, we're all watching final round LPGA or getting ready for some football, and this little short video that's been viewed millions and millions of times now. We couldn't wait to talk about it. Obviously, it's been a long road back for the 15-time major champion.
It's just when you kind of dive into the Tiger Woods injuries over the years. I mean, if you look at the list of his injuries going back to December of 1994, I mean, this guy has always felt very much like He-Man, right? I mean, he's been able to kind of go out there and be physically imposing on players, but he's also dealt with a ton of injuries. And, of course, the one in February, the car accident, was really, really tough to watch, and everybody really worried for Tiger's health for a number of months and weeks.
Yeah, and for more, we welcome in the NBC News senior medical correspondent, Dr. John Torres, who joined us in February as well. Dr. Torres, it's great to see you. Can you remind the viewers the severity of the injuries that Tiger sustained in his car accident way back in February?
Yeah, definitely. Great to see you guys as well. And if you remember back in February when he had the accident, one of the big questions was, would he even save the leg? Would he even be able to have a leg anymore? They were able to salvage the leg. They had to do some extensive surgery, especially to the lower part of the leg, because the bone had been fractured in multiple places. So they had to put a rod in the bone. Plus, the muscle had swollen to the point where there was a concern again that he could lose the leg. So they had to open up that muscle surgically, and then it had to take the time to heal and repair. So this has been a very extensive surgery, very extensive recovery, and now he's at this point right now, just 9 months later.
What was your reaction to seeing a video like that? Tiger Woods out there on a driving range swinging a golf club again.
You know, there were actually two reactions. One was, oh, this is great. He's out there. He's on the golf course. He's swinging in the golf club. He looks like he's doing well. And when you look at the dynamics behind it, it looks like a good swing, especially for him, who, you know, is the master of the swing here. But at the same time, it's just a start. You know, he said making progress. A great start could be another title for this. And it's just one very small snapshot into what has to be a very extensive playing period. And we don't know where he's going to be there yet.
Well, doctor, how would you describe the intensity of the rehab and physical therapy for someone who was in Tiger's situation to even be able to stand on a driving range and hit golf shots again?
Yeah, I think it's great that he can stand on the golf range. He can make those shots at just 9 months in, again, to after the surgery, the recovery, everything. I know recently he took the crutches off and was seen walking a few weeks ago. There was a noticeable limp on that right leg. If you look in the video, he's wearing that sleeve, and that's probably because of the scarring in that leg and trying to protect those scars in that area. And you can watch him when he takes that swing. He stands, and I looked at it deliberately to see if there was any kind of issue when he put weight on that leg. There was no real issue with that. And so he's at the point where he can do that. But that's one swing. When you look at, you know, doing 18 rounds and he's taking, you know, 60, 70 swings, you know, that's going to be a little bit different. Plus, you have to remember, in these golf tournaments, as you well know, a lot of walking goes on. And that walking, after a while, can tire that leg out, can cause some issues there. So he still has a long way to go, but he's come a long way. And part of this is because of the fitness that he has. But he is also 45 years old, and that takes longer to recover once you start getting to those age brackets. I know it doesn't seem old, but it takes longer to recover once you start getting in your 40s and 50s. And so it'll be interesting to see where he goes over the next couple of weeks.
Dr. Torres, I was going to ask about the age. I mean, if you were dealing with somebody that was 25 years old and they were an athlete trying to come back from an injury like this, how different would it look for someone in their mid-20s versus someone in their mid-40s?
You know, it actually looks a lot different. And what I frequently tell my patients who are in the mid-40s or 50s, you know, we're not 20 anymore, so we're not going to recover like we did when we're 20. You know, we can have these injuries when we're younger and we bounce back very quickly. Rehabilitation goes very quickly. Things heal faster. As you start getting older, it takes longer. But also, if you're in a good fit condition and you've been in a good fit condition for decades, then that healing process comes a lot faster. The rehabilitation comes faster. You have that muscle memory set in there, which can help you as well. And so he has those things going for him. But the big uphill battle is going to be, one, the severity of the injuries he had and recovering from that. And two, frankly, his age, you know, trying to recover from something like this and adding on top of that all the other injuries and surgeries he's had in the past. That culminates and causes some issues, and I think that's where we're looking at right now.
Yeah, on that note, Doctor, Tiger was recovering from that fifth back surgery when he was injured in the car accident. How complicating could that have been to his rehab?
Yeah, that could be somewhat complicating because in the rehab, you know, one of the things you do is you go to the point where you tell your patients, hey, I want you to be in a little bit of pain, and that's okay. We know that's going to happen. So these achy kind of pains are good. But if you start getting sharp pains or the pain doesn't go away, then that's where we need to slow down and stop. And with other types of recoveries as well, so he's undergoing the back recovery at the same time, that can cause an issue, and that can cause a bit of confusion as to where the pain's coming from, what's causing the pain. And so it slows that rehab down. And once it slows that rehab down, it obviously takes longer to rehabilitate. The fact that he did it in 9 months, I think, is pretty remarkable. And I think that just shows just how fit he was and how determined he is to make this kind of a comeback.
I wanted to ask you about that, Doctor. How much does the mindset of an athlete come into play, the focus, the mental toughness that have been Tiger's calling cards for so long? Have you learned something new about him through this process?
You know, I have learned that he is very good at this rehabilitation process, and it's important to have that mindset like you talk about, because rehabilitation is not easy, and it can be painful, and you need to be able to push through that pain to get to that rehabilitated state that you want to be in. And so having that, a couple things. One is the fact, again, that he's fit and he's had that athlete mindset for most of his life. But also, this is not his first rodeo. This is not the first rehab he's gone through. So he knows what to expect and he knows what the milestones are and what it takes to get there. So I think all that helps him get to this point he's at right now and hopefully will help him push forward even more. Now, where he's going to be at the end of this is anybody's guess. But my guess is he's probably not going to be back where he was before. But can he adjust around that? That's going to be the important question.
Dr. Torres, this is the point of the show where I ask you to tell viewers and golf fans alike maybe to pump the brakes on expectations. I mean, we see a video like this and we get so excited for what this means for Tiger Woods as a golfer, but important for all of us, golf fans, media, everybody, to pump the brakes a bit in terms of when we might see Tiger Woods back on the golf course.
Exactly. You make a great point to pump the brakes on a couple things. When we might see him on a golf course and when we might see him at that stage where he was before the accident. And those could be two different things. His title of his video there was Making Progress. The other title you could use is A Great Start, meaning that this is just one step in multiple step processes. And he still has a lot to go through. Number one, it was a swing. Great. One swing, 3 seconds, but multiple swings, walking between holes. All that's going to complicate things, and he has a long way to go before he can do that, accomplish those 18 holes, and even more so if it's a multiple-day event like the Masters where he has to do it day in and day out. That's going to be tough.
Dr. Torres, we appreciate you taking some time to chat on this Tuesday. We talk to you very, very soon. And, Damon, I want to just turn to Tiger Woods in terms of that comeback because we've seen Tiger make these comebacks before. I mean, injury, personal issues off the golf course and returning to the game. It is a very, very loud situation when Tiger Woods makes a comeback.
It really is, and everybody gets excited even before the social media era. I go back to 2008. He wins the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. He misses 8 months dealing with the leg surgery and coming back from that. I was working with Sports Illustrated at the time. Sports Illustrated put Tiger Woods on the cover in March of 2009 when he announced his comeback. This wasn't a golf shot hit. This was just Tiger saying, I'm coming back. Look at the size of the picture, the return of Tiger. I wrote this story and I interviewed a lot of people in and around the game to kind of ask them what they were feeling. At the time, the economy was really struggling in the United States. One of the great heroes of baseball, Alex Rodriguez, had admitted to using performance-enhancing drugs. So I interviewed some folks. How important, impressive is it that Tiger is coming back? Tommy Roy, producer of golf on NBC Sports, said to me, when you have what is going on in the country in 2009, people escape their troubles by watching sports. And this, Tiger's comeback, is the biggest sports story we have going on right now. I interviewed Rocco Mediate, of course, the runner-up to Tiger in 2008 at the U.S. Open. He's the man. He's the king. He's it. Our tour's cool, but it's really cool with him. I guarantee you that he wins the match play. You think he's coming out not 180,000%? He's not coming out going, let's see how I do. That's not going to happen. He's still Tiger. And then this from Roger Maltby, our colleague at NBC, and I refer to this quote quite a bit. We are starved for him. I don't mean to be unfair to any of the other guys, but a lot of people can play the fiddle. Only one guy is Itzhak Perlman.
Tiger Woods has done so much for our sport, has done so much for golf. And as we get excited for a video like this again, I mean, pumping the brakes, very, very important. But it does bring up kind of memories of Tiger Woods as the golfer, moments that we got a chance to watch Tiger in his prime, some of the great golf shots he's been able to pull off over the years. And it brought us to social media, asking you out there for those types of moments with Tiger Woods. Which one stands out to you? There's so many great shots to pick from, but if you could pick only one on repeat to watch, weigh in for a chance to be featured on the show. We'll show some of those in just a bit.
Yeah, a lot of people are already excited. So this Tiger Tuesday is going to continue on Golf Today. We will see if Tiger, are there odds already for him at Augusta National? What are the odd makers saying about his return? Jay Croucher of PointsBet joins us next.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet. This season, don't just bet, live your bet life. And Bushnell Golf and the Pro XC, experience the best. And by GEICO, you could save even more by bundling home and car insurance.
D-Hack, do you have another winner?
Yeah, I do. I think this is a no-brainer.
It's a winner.
I'm thinking Kevin Kisner,
okay,
top 10. It's plus 400 plus money.
Wow.
This is something you got to do. We're talking about the all-time earner at Sea Island. He's got a win, he's got playoffs, 5 top 10 finishes. I mean, Kevin Kisner played college at Georgia, which means he played in the SEC Championship every year there. He spent a year after college living on Sea Island. I mean, he's not Davis Love III. He's like a mini Davis, maybe. He's kind of like a rising Davis, maybe a budding Davis. He loves this part of the world. Most importantly, he's very comfortable on the grasses there at the golf course, Plantation and Seaside. Kevin Kisner, top 10, is my lock of the week.
It's an amazing value
and
bet.
It's plus 400.
Plus 400 is a great value bet. You know, I asked yesterday on the
program, I asked Teddy G
some advice.
Yeah.
And he said, what are you trying to do? You're trying to hit a home run, trying to hit singles. So I looked into the single part of some of the numbers.
Yeah.
Jin-Young Ko, just a top 10 this week.
Okay.
Now, this is minus 209 for Jin-Young Ko to top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to put 209 units out there, right?
Just to win.
To take home 100.
100 units. Okay,
units,
yeah, yeah.
Will. I mean, it's minus money.
Yes.
But not really a singles guy.
Okay.
I'm diving a little deep.
You're diving deep, man.
I was on notes. I was emailing.
Oh, it was hard to watch.
I got a parlay for you.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Who are the two players on the LPGA Tour we've talked the most about the last month?
Probably JYK and Nelly. Okay.
So both players top 10 this week. Put them both together. They both have to finish in the top 10. But if they both finish in the top 10, you actually get that at plus money.
There you go.
Plus 125. Have I mentioned Jin-Young Ko's run lately? When? T6th, T2nd, win, T6th. Nelly coming off a playoff victory. They both understand what's up for grabs this weekend. Let's finish off the season, then take our vacation. Maybe they'll go skiing with Sophia Popov. I like this parlay. Is it too much?
I like it. And PointsBet clearly likes it as well. Put it together for you. Plus
and they got it on the site.
125.
It's on the site.
They put
our Golf Today parlay, the bacon parlay on the site.
I like it. I like bacon. I like the bacon parlay. I'm going to get you know, you're below the Mendoza line right now. You're well below 500. We got to get you on the good foot.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner for Shane Bacon hits both. Meanwhile, my no-brainer, you see that red X? That's
tough,
no
tough
good.
Thursday.
I mean, Kevin Kisner, he had plus 400, he had 5 top 10s, a win, a runner-up. A great picture with Akira K. Dixon there. He looked the part. I think I should send a wellness checkout to Kevin Kisner after he missed the cut. Very surprising to see him not Cash a check.
I not only predicted the bets correctly, but I almost predicted the vacation correctly.
Ooh.
I said they might go on a ski trip with Sophia Popoff, and Nelly Korda and Jess Korda are at the beach with Sophia Popoff right now. So I was close to getting their vacation right as well.
Let's check in with the expert, Jay Croucher, of course, head of trading at PointsBet. Jay, great to see you. First, your reaction to our bets last week. How do we do?
Well, noticing a bit of a trend now that Shane is taking these shorter odds, these kind of free throw level jumpers, whereas Damon is going for more of the Steph Curry 30-footers with a hand in his face, taking the longer odds. So Shane is winning his bets, but I'm sure the shots will start falling for you eventually, Damon.
Jay, Thanksgiving right around the corner. Is there kind of a bet throughout the year that PointsBet is very thankful for?
Yeah, so there was one. We got into a little bit of trouble in the Northern Trust where John Rahm and my guy Cam Smith were both on the charge. There weren't too many believers in Tony Finau just because it had been so long since he'd won a tournament, and he came in at 60-1. But top 10 Tony, he did it for us in the end, becoming top one Tony. So that was the one that we were most thankful for.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, there's a Thanksgiving night game on NBC, Bills at Saints. What are you looking at so far?
So right now the line is Bills -4 on the road. There's not a lot of believers out there in Trevor Siemian. I will say, though, that a lot of the advanced numbers do really like the Saints. Their defense is really good. And this Bills team, which has been a top five favorite for the Super Bowl all year, they need to start winning some games because they're falling behind in the division. If they want to get the one seed, they don't have much room for error. So Josh Allen, if he wants to start making a bit more of an MVP case as well, the Bills would want to take care of business on Thursday night.
Bills have lost three of the last five. Saints have lost three in a row, both in very much need of a victory. And we're talking about Tiger on this Tuesday, and this is very much a look ahead, Jay. But what are Tiger's major odds for 2022, and have you guys adjusted them over the last couple of days?
We have a little bit. He's come into now 20-1 to win any major next year, which, to be honest, there's not a great deal of science that goes into that just because there's so much unknown. This is our calculated guess, and he's 40-1 to win the majors, to win the Masters as well. So he's a difficult guy to price. People will bet on him just because they want to bet on the story. But at this point, we're just making our best guess.
That is unbelievable that we're even talking about Tiger at this point. The fall on the PGA Tour has come to a close. Whose major odds have maybe moved the most after the conclusion of this fall portion of the schedule?
So it's a lot of guys who have won tournaments already in this portion of the schedule. So you're looking at Sam Burns, Victor Hovland, Hideki Matsuyama. Those are the guys who have really shortened with the form that they've shown. Those are probably the three, or at least three of, the most likely guys to make similar jumps to the jumps that Patrick Cantlay and Colin Morikawa made last year, where you're frequently seeing them in the top seven or eight to win tournaments. So it's Burns, Hovland, and Matsuyama. Those are the three big movers. Mm.
Jay Croucher, always bringing the insight. We always appreciate the time, my friend. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll chat with you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Well, again, we're telling everybody at home just to make sure you're pumping the brakes.
You said that a few times.
We're pumping the brakes on what's going on with Tiger as we look ahead. But it is important to look ahead at the major venues in 2022 because there's no surprise here. Tiger's had success at three of the four courses. And then if you throw in the Country Club at the U.S. Open, I mean, Tiger, obviously a member of that 1999 Ryder Cup.
Yeah, a lot of good vibes, good memories for Tiger at the 2022 men's major venues. And maybe no better memories or moments than at Augusta National Golf Club. Five green jackets, including that 12-shot win in 1997. That was about much more than the golf. That was a game-changing moment in our sport.
Get goosebumps just seeing those images of Tiger knocking in that putt at the 18th. Everybody was watching that as they should have. I'd say it's probably the most watched blowout in sports history,
unbelievable.
Right? Didn't matter what the score was. You just wanted to see him get the W.
And that's kind of been the theme of his career. Doesn't matter if he's up by one or 10. You want to watch what the big cat is doing. 2001, the completion of the Tiger Slam. Duval and Phil were pushing him on that Sunday. He was able to get it done. Fantastic photo, by the way, on the cover of SI that week as well.
One of the coolest photos ever on that victory. Of course, he won it again in 2002. I mean, 12 top fives around Augusta National for Tiger Woods in his career. He's one of the players along with Jack and Arnie, and we've seen Jordan Spieth have recent success. It seems like they just understand the golf course, and each and every year, no matter where their game is, they have a chance to win.
Yeah, then 2005, that was his first under the management of the swing coach Hank Haney, the famous chip-in on 16 to defeat Chris DeMarco, ultimately in that playoff, the return of the Big Cat to a major championship title.
In 2019, one of the coolest moments in sports history, Tiger Woods taking down some of the biggest current names in golf. They all made mistakes, and Tiger Woods just did not make a mistake. He was so locked in. Looking at him, when you watch a replay of that 2019 Masters and the way he went about his business, Tony Finau telling that great story of asking him the question, walking off the first fairway and getting nothing in
back.
Return. That was Tiger in his domain, winning a fifth green jacket.
How about 2007 PGA Championship? This on Friday, a putt for 62.
Gosh, how does that not go in? At that point, I was convinced it was never going to happen.
Oh, yeah,
I was like, well, that's
it.
If that doesn't go in, how is anybody ever going to shoot 62 in a major?
Tell you what, it was 1,000 degrees that week in Tulsa. John Daly stayed famously in a casino that week. He shot 67 in the opening round. We were like, man, is Daly going to do something? No. It, of course, was the 13th major championship for Tiger Woods.
Finished in a tie for 12th at Southern Hills as well in that 2001 U.S. Open. I mean, you go to St. Andrews to pick your moment, right? I mean, which moment you want to go with?
I like the approach into 14, the par 5, when he's asking, you know, having the conversation with Steve Williams about a steeple in the distance.
How about this yesterday?
How about this one?
So
this
great.
One, I mean, just the control over the golf ball. This was an 8-shot victory over Ernie Ellison and Thomas Bjorn. I was there as a sports fan. I was an NBA writer. I was, hey, he's going to complete the career Grand Slam at 24. I might as well go watch.
19 under in 2000, 14 under in 2005. He won by 8, as you mentioned, won by 5 in 05. You know, he played in 2010 as well at St. Andrews. Opened with 67. He'd opened with 67 in 2000, 66 in 05. Didn't have the same kind of engine for the rest of the week. But, I mean, you know, he's played in 4 opens at the Old Course.
Yeah, there's Jose Maria Olazabal, who had a fine week. So did Colin Montgomery that week. And Fred Couples finished tied for 15th as well. And, yeah, to think about the genius, the style of golf that wins at Augusta National and in the Old Course, it's no accident that the Tiger was in the mix there.
And, of course, the Country Club, D. I mean, the side of the comeback in terms of a Ryder Cup. Tiger went 2-3-0 that week, won his singles match over Andrew Coulthard, and that epic comeback early by all the big-named Americans kind of sent out early. Tiger, a part of that, got the win in those shirts predicted by Crenshaw the night before. One of the great moments in golf history, and, of course, Tiger was a part of that as well.
Yeah, and you get excited thinking about even the potential for Tiger maybe walking on these grounds where he's made such incredible memories and given the game of golf so many wonderful moments. It's a long way from this point today where we sit on this Tuesday to him playing in a major championship again. But it's fun to look back and to remember what he accomplished at those places. And there's a reason why there's a subset of players, whether you're talking about Nicklaus or Couples or Phil or Tiger, who can walk through those gates at Augusta and feel like a new man. And they know the golf courses, the knowledge that they have. Fred Couples famously learned at the leg of the Ray Floyds of the world and the Tom Watsons of the world. You think about the knowledge passed through the generations of these great players, and Tiger is clearly cut from the same cloth.
Always being the favorite and going out there and winning by a lot is always just kind of underappreciated from Tiger Woods throughout his career. He was always the favorite.
Yeah.
We talk with Jay Croucher week after week, and we talk about the favorites, and we kind of awe at the Jon Rahm numbers, and we look at Jin Young Ko, the way she's played lately, and what are her numbers going into the week. And then you think about Tiger Woods throughout his career, his entire career, he was the favorite at golf events. He showed up, and he was the man, and he would win these things. He'd go out and put together these beautiful opening rounds, and he would be an artist around these golf courses, play them differently, maybe take different approaches at certain courses the way he went about it. I mean, not hitting in a greenside bunker at St. Andrews, right? I mean, not going in a bunker at that golf course throughout the entire week. I mean, these are things that take planning, it takes dedication, it takes discipline, and he was the king at all of those things. And to show up knowing all the eyes are on you and to still be able to perform, it's a special trait.
We're going to pump the brakes on the speculation of what may happen. When Tiger was playing golf, it was always pedal to the metal. I spoke to his father, Earl, one time in an interview for Newsday. He said, Tiger Woods wants to destroy the golf course and everything on it. He wants to beat the darn course. And he didn't say darn. And it was about having mastery over the golf course. I'm going to figure out a way to play this golf course better than anybody. I'm going to take this golf course apart, and nobody on the property is going to stop me from doing that. The pedal was always down. There was never a respite. He was always there to not just play, but to win every single time. And think about the mind that you have to have, the mindset to be that dedicated and have that strong of a belief in yourself to be able to pull it off.
I mean, you're dominating an undominable sport.
Yes.
And that's what Tiger Woods did.
A game
did.
Of chance.
Yeah, it's you go out there and you're playing. You're not playing someone across a net. You know, you think right. about the runs we've seen from Roger Federer and Serena Williams and Nadal and now Djokovic. And you are each day playing one person.
Yeah.
I mean, when you really break it down, you're playing someone. It doesn't matter if they're a Grand Slam or a World Hall of Famer. All that matters is who you have to go out there and beat. He's got to beat everybody, and he's got to play a golf course as well. And we were awing at what Jin Young Ko did yeah. by hitting 63 greens in regulation in a row. And I said, that takes not a bad break, not a bad bounce. It's complete and utter discipline. Tiger had discipline like that for years.
Yeah.
Years on end, he was always locked into the process. Green back to the tee. Let's think about the sport in a different way. And you think about Jack Nicklaus kind of making his own yardage books, you know, walking out there and figuring out distances and yardage to certain stuff. Tiger was very much ahead of his time in the yeah. way he prepared. And now some of these young players talk to Tiger and take after Tiger in the way they prep as well.
The way they prep, the way they work, and the way they rehab. My wife and I, Susanna, we were watching the Andy Murray resurfacing documentary yesterday on the Grand Slam champion and coming back from hip surgery and the hours spent in the pool and the hours doing little things in slow motion to kind of build that muscle memory back just to be able to move on a tennis court again and to swing a racket again. And imagine what Tiger's had to do in those quiet hours where no one's watching, you know, working in a gym, putting his body back together, those little kind of minuscule moves over and over again. The mindset of the truly elite athlete is something to behold.
A good time for Tiger Woods to post the video.
Yeah.
This is a week and a time of the year where we're yeah. thankful for so
sure,
much stuff.
Sure.
And we have been thankful for Tiger Woods in the golf community and the sports community for a number of years. And we continue to be thankful for what he's able to do. Back on golf today. So I don't know if you saw this, D, over the weekend. Boyd Summerhayes, friend of the program, posted this. Tony Finau was out playing Silverleaf in Scottsdale alongside Preston Summerhayes, the freshman at ASU, U.S. Junior AM champion, John Rahm, world number one in the group as well. And it was kind of a casual round. He was posting a lot of birdies being made. And then Tony Finau birdied his last eight holes.
Oh, my God.
Not his last five, not his last six, not his last seven. He birdied his last eight holes for 59. Look at the casual nature of what's happening here.
Wow.
Not even a big reaction. He makes that long putt for 59 at Silverleaf, ties the course record set by John Rahm of 59. But the story continues on, my friend.
What happened next?
And this is a reminder of how impressive professional golfers are, not just when they're playing tournament golf, but when it's casual golf, okay? Preston Summerhayes is a freshman in college. He's
yes.
playing with world number one and world number 14. He's not fazed. Preston Summerhayes was 7-under par through 7. He was 7-under through 7 as a freshman in college playing with two of the great players in wow. the world in golf. Hits in the fairway on the 8th, a par 5. Didn't make birdie there. Birdie's the 9th. Preston shoots 28 on the way out. He had a mandatory workout at his Arizona State. And John Rahm was texting the head coach going, Preston's 4-under through 4. Preston's 5-under through 5. He's
wow.
not coming to the workout. He'll get to the workout later. But I think this is important at times to remind people what casual golf looks like from PGA
yes.
Tour players and LPGA players.
Well, this is why you said when Preston came on the show, well, this is going to be a PGA Tour winner
right.
at some point in his career. I've been lucky enough, and I know you have as well, to play an occasional casual round of golf with an LPGA player. I've played the Pro-Am with Brendan Todd and Camilo Vijaygas. It's a completely different game what they do. They hit the ball. I got bad eyesight to begin with, but I cannot see where the golf ball goes when they hit it so high and so far. And when they're casual, when they got tunes going, when they're playing in a golf cart, I mean, forget about it. They can shoot 50-nothing.
59 from Finau, 63 from Summerhayes, 63 from John Rahm.
My
out
gosh.
There just having fun, playing music. Boyd was videoing
right.
all the shots at the end. He's talking when they're standing over balls. I mean, this wasn't pressure packed. This is just
yeah.
their job. This is what they do for a living. I remember after Max Homa won the Wells Fargo, his first win ever on the PGA Tour was a Wednesday or Thursday that week after, and he came over to the house. We recorded a podcast. We went to a Mexican food restaurant, had a few drinks, had a few snacks,
yeah.
and we went and played golf after, and he made 9 birdies in 18 holes. Again, extremely casual. So it's a quick reminder to everybody out there, when you play with somebody that shoots 65 at your local track, or so you see somebody go out there and make 4 or 5 birdies, it's still an enormous gap. It's Grand Canyon-like between that level of skill and PGA Tour and LPGA level
You're telling
skill.
Me Tony Finau would win the Aspetuck Valley Country
I think
Club
so.
Member guest.
I think he would.
And Brooklawn as well, you think?
I think he would probably take both trophies home. It is absolutely silly to see professional golfers not just playing in tournament golf, but playing when nothing in theory is on the line. The skill level is just so much higher.
How about this incubation period for Preston to be around his dad, who's around and coaching Tony, and John Rahm is in the group? I mean, nothing's going to phase this kid. The experience is just kind of through osmosis of being in their orbit for a few hours.
This is going to be a kid. I mean, you think about the last amateur win on the PGA Tour being Phil Mickelson. Where did he go to school? Arizona
ASU.
State. I mean, I just feel like when you're really looking, and it's a great point you made, when you're looking at players that are collegiate golfers that understand what it's going to feel like when you're between the ropes in professional golf events and what you might face when you're playing against these types of players, nobody that I can remember is going to go into professional golf like Preston Summerhayes is going into professional golf. He plays with Tony Finau all the time.
Yeah.
Plays with John Rahm a lot. Plays with a lot of the pros out in the Scottsdale area. And now he's getting that feeling of playing at Arizona State as well, an elite university. I hate saying that, but it is an elite collegiate golf university. The practice facility at Papago is next level. I mean, if you're talking about a guy that could potentially win a PGA Tour event as an amateur, I'd say Preston Summerhayes is a name you should be circling a couple times.
Bill was the last one. John Rahm was very close as an amateur. Tiger Tuesday continues. We make the turn on golf today. We're talking needle movers in sports. What other athletes make the list? We discuss and check in with our buddy Steve Sands coming up next.
Second hour of golf today coming up. We continue to talk Tiger on this Tuesday. Our pal Steve Sands joins the program to give his thoughts on the short social post and the loud noise it made. Plus, Korn Ferry Tour Player of the Year Steven Yeager joins the program to talk the season, the PGA Tour, and a sponsorship that seems too easy not to make happen. Plus, have you played golf in Ireland? I know Damon Hack has. Tiger has as well. Tiger won there. We'll dive into Irish golf. I got to get over there. What am I doing? Golf Today continues.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet.
And Golf Today continues on this Tuesday. Damon Hack alongside Shane Bacon. We're calling this Tiger Tuesday. But I have to be honest, on Sunday when this video was released, I kind of had forgotten the impact that Tiger could have. You know, it had been a while since we'd seen him, other than other people's kind of surreptitious photos or videos. This was released by Tiger himself, and I was like, wow, look at the impact that this man still has.
One swing, 3 seconds, that's all it took.
Yeah.
Takes over the golf social media world. This is the video you've seen. I mean, you've seen it. If you have a phone, you have a computer, you have eyeballs, you've seen the video at this point. How about the metrics from what Tiger did on Sunday? The impact kind of all across social media. You see 7 million views and counting on Twitter, 3.5 million views on Instagram. See the likes and the retweets. And I mean, I could only imagine what the impressions look like if you dive into the analytics on this bad boy. I mean, I'm saying it's not millions. We're talking billions of impressions from what Tiger posted in just a couple days.
There are some athletes, there are some performers, celebrities who, no matter whether they're still doing their thing, they still move the needle, whether they're 40 or 80 or 20, which reminds me, you know, there are some needle movers outside of the game of golf as well that we could potentially dive into. Do you have some kind of needle movers, maybe even outside of golf, that come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, you said it right off the top. I, again, kind of surprised as well with you, the kind of the impact Tiger still has with a golf club in hand. I mean, it's easy to kind of forget that as we focus so much on who's playing right now and who's winning golf tournaments right now. So Tiger, obviously, on my list. I put Steph Curry on my list as well. I wake up in the morning and check, you know, House of Highlights on Instagram to see what Steph did the night before. How many points did he have? What did he shoot from three? I mean, LeBron James, I mean, he's a real-life hero in my eyes. What LeBron has done off the basketball court, but I'm always interested in what LeBron says, what LeBron has done. And Simone Biles, I'd say this year alone, just what she said and the way she speaks, how eloquent she is at such a young age. I mean, she moves the needle for me. I'm so impressed with Simone Biles.
Yeah, handled herself with a lot of grace through strife over the summer in Tokyo. And yeah, the hoopsters, I mean, I'm right with you with Steph and LeBron and what they've done, also kind of being comfortable finding their voices outside of the game and being willing to speak about social justice. You think about the school that LeBron James has created in his native Ohio and the millions of families this will ultimately affect in the community and at large will grow larger and larger because of the largesse of someone like LeBron James.
Just think about the lives that you hope to touch as a pro athlete.
Yeah.
And then just to think about what LeBron James has done in his life and his time as being a pro athlete and seeing past the basketball court, it is quite impressive. What's your list? Who you got on your list?
I got LeBron on my list as well. I have Tiger on my list as well.
Gotta put those on.
At Tom Brady. I was watching Brady last night. I just keep waiting for him to like fall apart, like
can't happen.
His knee to fall off or his arm, his elbow, and he just is ageless, timeless, throwing the rock. My mom has Tom Brady on her fantasy football team. He had a good game last night, throwing it to Chris Godwin, and Gronk was back. I got Floyd Mayweather whenever he fights. He's interesting. I'm not a huge fan of his necessarily, but I'm interested in what he's doing. And then the U.S. Women's National Soccer team.
Great one.
I mean, Megan Rapinoe and Alex Morgan, I want to watch them. I want to see what they're doing, Carly Lloyd. I love the cohesion that they have, and they have been great for so long. I'm always interested when they're on the pitch.
A couple of tennis players not on our list, but probably make as much impact as anybody. Serena would be on that list. Roger Federer, you know, one of my favorite athletes in my lifetime watching sports.
Does Djokovic do it for you?
You know, I'm not sure I'd put Novak in the needle movers, if you will. I mean, he moves the needle, for goodness sakes, with his play.
Yeah.
But I'd say that's more kind of confined to the tennis court. I got a chance to watch Novak at the U.S. Open live this year, and that is quite the experience. So, you want to ask Steve Sands who moves the needle for him?
Sandsy.
Steve Sands joins the program now. Steve, outside of golfers, who moves your needle, if you will?
Well, currently, I would say that when Brady plays, I'm with Damon. You have to watch just because you just marvel at the fact that he's 44 years of age. But overall, man, when Mike Tyson was fighting, you had to watch. Again, like Floyd Mayweather, you don't have to like him. You can dislike him if you choose. But when he fought, it was must-see television. Of course, before that was Muhammad Ali. I'm a huge Federer guy. When Federer was trying to do his thing at the time, I thought that it was must-see TV as well. But Michael Jordan is the all-time, for me, must-see guy, and Tiger Woods is right there with him. I don't think anybody would argue that Tiger doesn't just move the needle in golf, fellas. I think he was, and will always be the needle in this sport.
Well, there's a reason we're talking about Tiger Woods on this Tuesday. How surprised were you when the video popped up on your phone over the weekend?
Oh, I wasn't surprised. You can kind of hear those rumors kind of percolating. Fellas, you know that. You guys know a lot of people in this sport. Tiger's been getting out there a little bit more. What are we, 9 months away from that accident? You knew he was going to attempt a comeback. 3 seconds of video gets the world jacked up. Only Tiger Woods in sports can do that. This would be one of the great comebacks, if not the greatest comeback in the history of sports, if he does come back.
Well, Steve, where are we now in your mind with this story compared to where we were in February?
I think it's a wait and see, Damon, don't you think? I think that, you know, I think when the accident happened, I think everybody thought, I think we all spoke about this on Golf Today with you guys. Let's hope he's okay. Let's hope he's alive. Let's hope no one else got hurt in the accident. Let's make sure that, you know, he'll be able to be a father, play golf, and go watch his kids play soccer and hang out with his family the rest of his life. Golf on the back burner. But now that we're 9 months removed from it, and we know that he's going to be okay, who knows what's going to happen professionally as far as golf is concerned. The one thing that I thought was amazing from that video, guys, I don't know if you have any grandparents who are alive or how old your parents are. Shane, you're much younger than I am. But I think of my dad down in South Florida. Only Tiger could make a compression sock look cool, man.
One man and one man only. I agree with that. So we asked people on social media for their Tiger moment. I want to ask you for your Tiger moment. When you think of Tiger Woods, the golfer, what's the one moment that pops up in your mind first?
You know, I was asked this the other day, Shane, when that video came out. And you know, on a personal level, the two things that I witnessed in person that I thought were just remarkable, the three things really, Augusta in 19, but we didn't have that telecast. We did have the show when he won his 82nd to tie Sam Snead at the Zozo Championship right here on Golf Channel back in Japan in 2019. That was a remarkable event. And also when he won the Tour Championship and that wave of people came down the 18th hole at East Lake. I've never seen anything like that in golf outside of perhaps noise level at a Ryder Cup, perhaps scene-wise at an Open Championship. But, you know, we joke around about sports and what's a good sports town, what's not. I don't think anybody would say that Atlanta is the greatest sports town in America. It's not a bad sports town, but it's not the greatest sports town. To see all those people coming down there to celebrate Tiger and his 80th victory at East Lake, I thought was amazing. I remember back at Doral in the mid-2000s, you talked about Federer, Shane. Federer was playing in that Key Biscayne tennis event. He came out to watch Tiger play. Both of them were at the height of their careers. Both of them were number one in the world in the two big individual sports on the planet. Watching them interact together in person was really cool. But, you know, look, Pebble Beach winning by 100, Masters winning by 197, a lot of social tones there with that victory. He's done so many things in the sport that we've all witnessed in person, and that if we're lucky to do that, and also have witnessed on television. He's an amazing, remarkable athlete.
Sands, I was in Miami when Federer came to the golf course. He was wearing jeans, if I recall, but he's like Roger Federer, so you can't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, Federer wears jeans on the golf course.
Jeans are allowed.
Jeans are allowed if you're Roger Federer. Now, you talked about the comeback, and I kind of wish Tiger would stop with the comebacks. I mean, he's come back from the injuries and embarrassment and the yips, and he keeps topping himself. And you touched on it earlier. Where would this comeback rate in your mind if he does come back and comes back and starts winning golf tournaments again?
Well, when we saw him in Scottsdale, Damon, I don't know if you were at that event, but we were doing that event when he literally was chipping and pitching the ball like we would off the green when we're playing in front of millions of people, in front of thousands of fans in person. For him to come back from that, I thought golf-wise was the biggest and best of all the comebacks that he's had. This in particular, you know, you don't want to make it analogous to Ben Hogan and the car crash and those kinds of things. He's at a different era, different age, different technology, different science as far as coming back from injuries. But if he comes back from this, Damon and Shane, if he happens to compete on the PGA Tour again, and my goodness, if he actually gets to a Sunday and is on the leaderboard and somehow crosses the finish line to get win number 83, which would top Sam Snead and put him atop everybody else in the history of the PGA Tour after all he's been through. After, by the way, when he had the car accident in February, remember, he was still recovering from his back surgery. So he's got a lot going on physically. I would put this, Damon, atop all of them, not just because of a physical standpoint and a golf standpoint, but also just mentally being able to come back. He's as mentally tough as any professional athlete I've ever been around. Damon, you've had a long career when you were writing and now on television. You've been around a lot of athletes, luckily, like I have. I can't imagine anybody tougher. I know Michael Jordan is the best and the toughest, but I don't think Tiger could be any less than that. I think Tiger's right there with Michael Jordan as far as our era, as far as toughness mentally and also physically below the collarbone. So I would put this one atop the other ones, but man, when he had the yips chipping and pitching, Damon, man, I didn't think that he was going to have the ability to come back as strong as he did. Come back, yes. Come back as strong. Man, I thought that was amazing. But this one, I think, would top it all.
I was standing in the dark with Mark Rolfing, watching him blading chips before rounds of golf. I never thought he'd be back in the winner's circle. But if we've learned anything about Tiger Woods, is you can never count him out. Steve, it's great to catch up with you. Happy Thanksgiving, pal. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas. Happy Thanksgiving. Good to see you.
The great Steve Sands. When Golf Today returns, we're talking with Korn Ferry Tour Player of the Year, Stephen Yeager. More on his standout season and his future goals when Golf Today returns. Gotta have goals.
Golf Today, brought to you by PointsBet. This season, don't just bet, live your bet life. And Bushnell Golf and the new Wingman, crank up your game. And by the new Ping i59 Forged Iron, it's different at its core. Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
We are back. Last August, it was Stephen Yeager. He shot 22 under par. You shoot 22 under par, you're going to win. Albertson Boise Open for his fifth Korn Ferry Tour title, D.
Yeah, and he wasn't done yet. In April of this year, Jaeger won the Emerald Coast Classic in a playoff for his sixth Corn Ferry Tour victory, with the victory moved within one of Jason Gore's all-time record of 7 wins.
So last week, we talked about the 2 wins. Yep. Last week, he was named Corn Ferry Tour Player of the Year, as he should have been.
As he should.
Played great golf throughout the season. Been. Look at that year in review. It was a long year. Exhausting season. Got to be committed and dedicated, and Steven Jaeger was all of that and more. 35 starts. 35 starts, 2 wins, 4 runner-up finishes, 13 top 10s, 14 top 25s, and 27 of 35 cuts made. And when you win a Corn Ferry Tour Player, you know what happens.
Yeah,
you come on the program.
Today.
And Steven Jaeger joins us now. First, congrats on winning Corn Ferry Tour Player of the Year. What does winning an award like this tell you about what you were able to accomplish this season?
You know, I mean, for us, it was a 2-year season. So to win at, you know, 35 events that I played, I think we had close to 40 for the 2-year span or a year and a half. It means a lot. It means like, you know, I always preach consistency. So for me to kind of be consistently up there with, you know, the 13 top 10s and having a chance to win on you know, a handful of occasions is awesome. And that's where I kind of want to get to in my PGA Tour career, to be able to have those stats on that tour and feel comfortable enough and feel like I can compete every single week.
Is it game? Is it comfort level? Is it you kind of just feeling like you belong out there in terms of the PGA Tour? Because you've been so successful on the Corn Ferry Tour, not just the wins, 26% of the time throughout your career have finished in the top 25.
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And obviously, you know, I get it quite a bit. I'd love to say it's one thing that I could kind of point to. I think the biggest one is being, you know, feeling comfortable around, you know, all these guys that I've watched over the years, and being comfortable with my game on different golf courses, you know, different kind of golf courses that we play on tour, compared to what we have on the Corn Ferry Tour every year. So I'm still working on that. I'm always a guy that if I like to earn things, and I need to learn this, the next step, and, you know, being in contention on the PGA Tour and having the lead and everything. So it's a learning process for me. I've never been a guy that comes out screaming. I needed my time in college. I needed my time on mini tours. I needed my time on the Corn Ferry Tour. So I'm working on it. It's, you know, that's a long process. I'm glad you can play golf until you're about 60. So, or Bernhard Langer was 64. He's still killing it out there. Shout out to him. But I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to this kind of the journey that I'm on this year, and see what I can do.
Steven, you know, college majors don't always apply to our real world jobs afterwards, but I remember you were like a psych major in college. In what ways has that helped you in golf?
I mean, I would say a bachelor in psychology. I'm not sure how deep you get into somebody's, you know, but I enjoyed the major. You know, I had some really cool classes that were interesting, and, you know, has it helped my golf? I'm not sure. I think we're all kind of, you know, a little bit of, you know, mentally we're sometimes we need some help. I think everybody does. So, I just kind of embraced it in college, and, you know, in class, we had a positive psychology class, which was awesome. I thought that was really interesting. And, but I wouldn't say it really has necessarily helped my golf. No.
All right, I'm going to try another one then. You know, you're someone on social media. Everyone knows what Tiger released, this 3-second video of his golf swing. Did that affect you on Sunday? What was your reaction?
You know, I obviously saw it. And I was really surprised how, I don't know what I was thinking it was going to look like, with a messed up leg like that. It looked like his normal golf swing. I mean, I don't break it down, but like to me, it just looks like it's another Wednesday at a major. He's about to get ready to play. I know he's, you know, obviously probably a long way from there, but I mean, I, you know, if I had a broke leg and swing like that, I think I would be pretty happy for sure.
All right, I want to take you back to 2016, the Ellie Mae. You open with 58 in the opening round. Is there an added level of stress in a golf tournament when you fire something like that in the first round, considering there's three rounds to be played?
Yeah, it was funny because, you know, obviously that's been covered a little bit, but I told most of the media, I was like, you know, for me, that's 58. I was always like, you know, it's kind of, you can't take that away from me. But for me at that point, I think I was like 120th on the money list, and I hadn't had a great year. And, you know, I kind of been back and forth on Latin tour a little bit and had to go to Q school. And to kind of come out that whole entire week and kept the pedal to the, you know, to the floor and win, that was really bigger than the 58, to be honest with you. From my career standpoint, and I knew I was, you know, I obviously had a place to play the next year. I missed my card by a couple of spots. I think I finished 27th on the money list that year. But, you know, it obviously, that was one of the days I'll never forget. But the entire week really was. I remember, I think my mom was there, and we just, you know, we obviously went to San Francisco Sunday night and celebrated, and the entire week for me was awesome. Obviously, you know, started off with 58, which was pretty special.
Steven, we do a lot of these interviews via FaceTime and Zoom in this era, and I'm digging the beams on the ceiling. Mm-hmm. I like, our producer Chloe likes them as well. Are those like imported from Nantucket? Like, the beams on the ceiling are fantastic. You know, how'd you get those?
Well, I would have to give all the credit to my wife on that one.
Smart man.
Yeah, and I'll leave it at that. You know, we've been here. This is, Chattanooga has been our home for, been my home since 2006. So I love the town. We've been in the South for a couple of years. And I wouldn't say it's anything important. You know, I don't think it's Nantucket or Italy or anything. I would say it's maybe just farm wood that you can buy at Lowe's. I'm not sure.
Stained, beautifully stained wood. That's what we got right there. I mean, I like it.
You know, if you want to comment on the, you know, decorations, I'm all for it. I'll bring her in and she can tell you all about it. But no, it's my home. And yeah, I just, it was too cold to sit outside. So I was like, I'm going to sit inside.
Well, I mean, and it led us to Beam Talk, which always makes the show a lot better.
Even the beer didn't help me with the cold weather. I think this thing is going to be gone in a couple of days.
I think you got to leave it for the year. I think that's your calling card at this point. It looks great.
Oh boy. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Well, maybe. I think once it gets over this annoying stage, maybe like I'll get like a big old guy. Like a Beef Johnson kind of thing. You know, maybe I'll reinvent myself on social media, and you know, Andres Gonzalez had his little horseshoe forever. You never know. You don't have to see in Sony, I guess.
If we conduct a poll on social media from Golf Channel's social media account, and the poll says that the fans want you to keep it, will you in fact keep it for a number of months?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right, we'll get that poll going. All right, I got one more question for you. You've been a professional golfer since 2012. We've seen brands attach themselves to certain names over the years. Seamus Power has Seamus head covers. Retief Goosen has a Grey Goose deal. Justin Lauer has that lower.com deal. When are we going to see Jaeger on the sleeve, my man? Do you want us to call somebody?
You know somebody?
I mean, we know people. We know a few people. We know some people.
Well, you know, it was funny. Sorry. That was actually kind of a story I used to tell in college, that, you know, my family was in the Jägermeister business. I'd love it. I'm not sure. There's a couple other things that may intervene on that one. Some other sponsors may not
be
as open-minded as you guys. But you know what? I don't like it. I'm sorry. I say it on national TV. Okay. I'm sorry, Jägermeister. I don't love it.
Listen, I'm noting down, not going to get the sponsorship.
That's okay.
You've eliminated the possibility of the sponsorship.
There's plenty of wine, there's tequila, plenty of other things.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's a watch company that has something with Jaeger in it. I'm in on that, so shout out to them.
Perfect, perfect. The watch company, Steven Jaeger. We really appreciate the time. Keep promoting those beams behind you. They look beautiful.
That's right. Yeah, Italy.
We'll get you the poll results as well. Congrats on Player of the Year. Enjoy the offseason. We'll see you in Hawaii.
Oh, great stuff from Steven Jaeger. Meanwhile, on the PGA Tour, let's check on the Comcast Business Tour top 10. That's getting a bump in 2022, we learned earlier.
So I'm not presenting any more sponsors to people.
I know. That almost got a little awkward.
No. He was just out on it.
I just like his honesty. I want to write the Steven Jaeger book if that comes out. But I write a book about these guys. Taylor Gooch,
he's
most
now
recent
first.
Winner.
How about that? Going to the offseason, leading the Comcast Business Tour top.
Some ballers.
10. Rory on the list as well.
Good to see you, man. Got Max Homa as well. Coming up next, we're going to venture over to the Emerald Isle to preview some of the best courses in Ireland.
You play golf
like
there.
This song.
You play
Galway
golf in
Girl?
Ireland.
I have. Do you like Galway nice. Girl? Galway Girl?
I don't know.
Little Galway Girl. Golf Today returns.
I think it will.
Back on Golf Today. 2019 was Shane Lowry's moment at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. The Irishman winning the claret jug despite the wind and the rain, or maybe because of it. Winning his first major championship. What a moment it was. Tough, tough conditions. You see the mist there on that Sunday. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a great history of men's major champions from Ireland, Northern Ireland. Rory McIlroy, Padraig Harrington, Fred Daly, Graham McDowell, Darren Clark, and the aforementioned Shane Lowry.
Never played golf in Ireland. You played golf
I
in
have,
Ireland. You
know
who else
yeah.
said played golf in Ireland? Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Talking about Tiger on this Tuesday, take you back to 2002, WGC. At the time, the American Express Championship. Now it's the Workday. This at Mount Juliet. Remember this? Shot 25 under?
I do remember this. You know what? A young Rory McIlroy was in the audience at the time.
He was.
The last time I was on the 18th green here was during the prize ceremony when Tiger won. And I remember I somehow sneaked my way like under the rope onto the back of the green, and I was standing right behind him, and his glove was still in his back pocket. And like I could have reached and got it and ran. It would have been a good story to tell him. But I obviously didn't. It was the first time I ever watched Tiger play live. I remember the first shot I ever saw him hit was a drive off the fifth hole, par five, and he hit a 2-iron into the green. And it was really cool. You know, I idolized him growing up, and to actually see the man in the flesh was pretty exciting.
I mean, you kind of see the smile on Rory's face telling that story. Do you have a moment you remember as like a kid seeing an athlete or meeting an athlete, an idol of yours kind of growing up?
Yeah, probably Magic Johnson was everything to me. I was 8 years old when the Lakers won that first title when he was a rookie in 1980. And later on, I was an NBA writer, and I was at the Forum where the Lakers used to play. And he was, like, walking down the stairs with Cookie, and I'm walking up the stairs. And, like, I'd never seen him in person. If I'd watched him on TV for all these years, and he's walking down, and I'm walking up, and like I couldn't speak. I wanted to say hi. Two things stuck out to me. One was like, there's Magic, the guy I cheered for forever. And like, wow, Cookie's really pretty. Those are the two thoughts that came to mind as the greatest athlete in my mind as a kid, one of the greatest winners of all time, best point guard in my mind who's ever done it, walked past me down the stairs in L.A.
I mean, can't forget those moments. I was a kid. I used to send athletes pictures to autograph.
Okay.
I'd send them, like, a photo. This was a thing my mom and I would do. You know, Nolan Ryan was somebody I grew up growing up in East Texas, obviously with the Rangers. I sent Magic Johnson a picture one time to autograph. And, you know, we'd send in the envelope with the stamp on it and got it sent back. No autograph.
No autograph.
I was kind of bummed out about it. I remember I put it away. And years later, I pulled it out. It was a glossy photo. I remember I pulled it out and I looked in the light and he'd signed it in an area of the photo that was kind of like in the shadows of the picture. So Magic signed my picture. I think for 2 or 3 years, I was like, Magic, man, why'd you even send it back?
I would have been surprised had he not signed it. Magic, you want to talk about someone who was fan-friendly, kid-friendly. I mean, fun to root for a player like that. Five titles in the 1980s for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Height of the NBA back in the 80s.
Bird,
it's kind of returning back to that with so many superstars right now. I just wanted to go back to Irish golf for a moment. Because I haven't. The only experience I've had with Irish Golf is reading Tom Coyne's book, which is one of
it's
the great reads out there. By the way, great holiday gift if you're thinking about something. You've played golf in Ireland?
I have. I played the K Club. There's the Palmer course there when I was covering the Ryder Cup in 2006. I also played Druids Glen, which has hosted the Irish Open in past years. And you think about Tiger in the connection to Ireland. Before he would compete in the Open, he would often go play some of the links courses in Ireland with Mark O'Meara and the late, great Payne Stewart. There was a famous story that Kevin Ryan, our researcher, told us this morning that in 98, you know, you remember Payne Stewart lost the U.S. Open to Lee Jansen, and there was like an elderly lady who was giving him some crap about it. I want you to bring, where's the trophy? Where's the U.S. Open trophy? And I guess Payne told her, well, next year I'll bring it. And of course, he won the 1999
wins that U.S. Open, in 1999. Yeah. It's a great, great story. We got plenty more on Tiger on this Tuesday. After the break, we'll be joined by the host of Beyond the Fairway podcast to get their reaction to the social post.
You are a golfer. All of a sudden, I read some stuff where there was a time you kind of bashed the game. I ain't gonna, you know, call you all the way out, but you had some, some different things to say a few years ago, but now you in the mix. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, you coming into the game, how it happened, where were you? I mean, what's going on, man? How you get this bug?
I got the bug. It was the day after Thanksgiving 2018. And, you know, got peer pressured to go out after Thanksgiving. We were on Kauai, sleepy little island, nothing to do. I'm like, all right, I'll go play nine with you guys. And went out, smashed a couple roofs just off the jump, some snap hooks out there.
But you made contact off jump.
Yeah, I might take like one or two swings, and then I snapped some hooks. Okay. And then finally, towards the back nine, somewhere along 13, 14, I found myself in a fairway bunker, grabbed a 5-iron, really didn't know what it did, and I just smashed it, you know, hit it pure, and I was just like, ooh.
That's where it started.
What is that? Okay, I want that again.
Now, my next question, how long did it take for you to feel that euphoria again? I mean, was it the next shot or was it a couple months later?
I'm still looking for it, Will.
You're right.
And we're pleased to be joined by the voices you just heard, the host of the Beyond the Fairway podcast, Will Lowry and Doug Smith. Fellas, it's great to see you. Will, I'm going to start with you. Thanksgiving is around the corner. What are you most thankful for in the game of golf?
I mean, I'm just thankful for the opportunity to, you know, fellowship with friends and colleagues through the great game. You know, I've been in the game so long, and I'm still meeting new people every day. So I'm just thankful for the opportunity and platform that golf provides.
Dougie, how about you?
Man, I'm thankful to be here with you guys. I'm thankful for the year that I've had personally. I'm thankful that Will Lowry invited me on this ride. I mean, this time last year I had a podcast, and now Will brought me on. I'm sitting here talking to you and Shane, and it's been a blessing. I'm thankful for my son. I'm thankful for this turkey I'm about to cook, but I'm not thankful that I'm actually wearing that same hoodie that we just saw in the Macklemore piece. I'm very upset that was the clip that you used out of all the things, man. Come on, man.
I was coming, dog. I was coming.
It happens a lot. I had it happen about 5 times this year. Incredibly uncomfortable, but it just means you like it. That's the key to that.
Yeah,
well, we got to talk about the Tiger video, the buzz that's been around the golf world. 3-second video posted by Tiger. Now, be honest with us, guys. How many times have you watched the loop? Doug, I'll start with you.
See, Shane, why are you going to just call me out like that and put me all the way on Front Street? Now, you know good and well, I've watched that video like 162 times. I have watched this video right here. My son and I, when I'm putting him to bed last night, I him and Jin Young Ko, I usually show him videos at night of swings. And we were watching this one last night, just the tempo, just the leg sleeve is super dope. And I'm excited to see Tiger back swinging. We know what he's been through. You know, can he come back again? That's really the question right now. But to see him vertical swinging and loading and unloading and using the ground, I'm pretty excited, boys.
Will, you've accounted for what, like 30% of the views? Is that kind of what we're thinking? I mean, I think it's like in the 3.5 million view range at this point. I mean,
absolutely. You know, and think about it, this time so unique. It's an addition to, you know, when Tiger had a tragic accident. You know, my whole goal was, I just hope he comes back to be a functional human being to where he can be the father that he wants to be, an active father. But now that I saw this swing release and come to surface, now I got that much more excited. You know, it's kind of like Paprika. You know, it's just a great addition to the whole shebang.
Yeah, just sprinkle it on. It's necessary Thanksgiving week. I like that. I'm thankful, by the way, for y'all's setups behind you. Very professional looks behind it. The artwork is top notch. All right, so we're celebrating Tiger. So I need to ask both of you guys. Will, I'll start with you. What is the one memory that kind of comes to mind when you think about Tiger Woods? What's the one golfing memory that pops in your head when you think about Tiger Woods out on a golf course?
That's a great question. It's so many. I probably had to say, you know, I hope he doesn't get mad at me for this, but the memory of him being injured all the time, you know, just the buildup, the buildup of him coming back. Like, you know, once again, we're building up for him coming back to have an awesome, entryway back into the game. And, you know, we've been on this journey since, I mean, for me, 2007. And from ACL sprains to back spasms to back surgeries. And that's my memory of him. But I know he's always successful in everything that he does. And he's going to come back even more vicious than ever. But that's my memory right now. I'm just waiting for this 18th major to come about.
Will, just so you know about the injuries, because, again, I think sometimes we forget about a few of them. And we have three pages today from research on some of the injuries that Tiger has gone through. I mean, this is part of the legacy that is Tiger Woods, is it's not just the wins, but it's the way he's been able to come back from so many injury after injury after injury. So, Doug, I ask you, what's kind of the Tiger memory that comes to mind when you think about Woods out on the golf course?
See, I've got one that really didn't make the cameras. I was a scorecard runner at the PGA Championship in 2000. And so my job was to take the scorecard from the player, get it copied, and then take it back to the player down 10 fairway there at Valhalla. And I had to get Tiger's scorecard. And I remember going up to him, and I'm like all of young kid, and I went to tap him on the shoulder. And the way he turned around and looked through me was a look that only a mother could give a son in my household, at least. But that look that Tiger gave me, he looked in my eyes. He burned a hole in my soul. And every time I've seen him since, I'm kind of like, all right, I'm not going to tap Tiger. I'm not going to say nothing, T-Dubs. Just do your thing. I'm just over here in the corner.
That's a great, great analogy. I grew up in a similar household, my friend. So let me ask you this, Doug. 2022 is around the corner. Beyond the Fairway podcast is going to live for another year. Give us some insight into what we might see in the new year.
Wow, I think you're going to see more of these two faces right here for sure. You're going to see more of the same. Hopefully, we're going to leverage the total NBC family a little bit more this year. I think it was really fun to establish our voice with the podcast, Will and myself. And now we're going to probably do some more content pieces and get a little bit deeper. Now we're a bit more comfortable on camera and talking to the folks. And we're just going to expand what we do and cast a wider net and see when we can get you and Shane on. That's really the goal.
Anytime, fellas, anytime. Doug, I'm excited to check out your holiday gift guide that everybody kind of posts on Instagram, because I'm assuming it's just going to be yellow hoodies. It's just going to be yellow hoodies from every brand that makes that sweatshirt. Yellow. And that is going to be the holiday gift guide. That's 2021.
That's messed up, Shane. Yeah, you know, I like I said, I couldn't find my Shane Bacon sweater today. So I went Trevor Noah on you. I'm sorry.
I understand. It still looks good. It still looks good.
That's Thanksgiving mustard yellow.
That is. Good call.
Preparing for the food. Fellas, thanks so much for the time. Congrats on all the success with the podcast.
We appreciate y'all, man.